Can a car connect the world inside with the world outside? The 2019 Lincoln MKC with Lincoln Connect 4G LTE Wi-Fi allows 10 devices to connect at once. Learn more at lincoln.com/MKC. Don't drive distracted or while using handheld devices. Use voice controls.
Welcome to the New York Times Popcast, your You Can't Be Me, I'm a podcast host of music news and criticism. It me, John Caramonica.
And when I die for it, now I see that if and when are truly different cries for it. If it's purely panic, and when is solemn sorrow, and one invades today while the other spies tomorrow. We're surrounded and we're hounded. There's no above or under or around it. For above is blind belief, and under is sore disbelief, and around is scientific miracle. Let's pick above and see. For if and when we go above, the question still remains: are we still in love, and is it possible we feel the same? And that's when going under starts to take my wonder. But until that time, I'll try to sing this.
You kids like rock and roll? You kids like the bands? You kids like arenas? Well, 21 Pilots is here for you. That is a song called Morph, which is allegedly a rock song, which is on the new 21 Pilots album, which is called Trench. 21 Pilots are a popular rock band, or are they? I don't know. I wanted to talk about rock music, which is not a sentence I really ever thought I would say in my adult career and life. But a lot of weird things are happening in rock and roll. There are rock bands that look like bands but don't sound like rock bands. And then there are rock bands that are not actually bands. And then there are rock bands that sound exactly like old rock bands, and I don't know why they exist. And then if you look at Billboard, I don't really know what rock is. I know who knows what rock is. My three guests, they know. It's the 22nd Pilot, New York Times pop music editor, Karen Gans.
It's an honor, John.
And if you know what 22nd Pilot means, I don't mean it in the bad way. I mean it in the good way.
I didn't take offense.
I hope not. Directly across from me, it's Corey Groh, senior writer at Rolling Stone and holder of all things rock and roll.
Hello.
Hi. And finally, to my right, another 1975 fan and keeper of the rock flame, as I like to think of it. It's Lindsay Zolad, staff writer at The Ringer.
Let's rock.
Yeah, seriously. So everybody throw your devil horns up because we're about to get into it. Karen. Heavy sigh, right? Why is 21 Pilots? That's the question.
I was waiting.
That's it. That's the question. Why is 21 Pilots? Why?
Why are they popular?
Just why?
Why do they sound like this?
Just why?
Well, I think they're great, John.
I know you do. Yeah. We went to see them at the Garden on the last tour.
We were on together. We went different nights.
I'm sorry. That's correct. We saw them on different nights.
We were with Andy Green from Rolling Stone.
Okay. I took no Rolling Stone attendee.
Yeah.
I did not. Although I think Hardeep was there. Hardeep from The Post. No longer at The Post. Hey, Hardeep. Karen, you really enjoyed that show. I thought it looked like a high school talent show. So talk to me about...
Wow, I'm glad I'm the one who wrote that one up.
Yes.
We were debating.
So are the Tour 21
Pilots.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Karen, why does this band exist in the form that it does? And the second question is, if I had just played this band for you without telling you who they were, would you identify it as a rock and roll act? Yeah, see? Sticky. We're like 90 seconds in. We're already like, who knows?
Would I recognize them as a rock and roll? I think I would.
Okay.
I think my definition of rock is broad.
Wow.
Wow,
calling me small-minded. Strong start.
They have a live drummer, which is a key part of rock and roll. Look, you're painting us into a box here early. I didn't get a chance to talk yet.
Oh, my God. The live drummer, that's all it takes?
No.
Okay, because that mean the bar that I was in Jackson Hole, Wyoming after the Kanye thing where there was like a jazz DJ and a live drummer? Is that a rock band too?
I mean, it could be.
Okay.
don't press me.
Just throwing it out there. Okay, Karen, explain 21 Pilots for the people.
Okay, well, you probably know 21 Pilots, but it's one of those bands where like you might know the songs, you might not know the name. But the song Stressed Out from the last record I was not surprised to find has 1.5 billion. I'm going to kill you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even know I was doing it.
1.5 billion YouTube views on the video for Stressed Out, which sounds kind of like a weird 90s song.
That is maybe one third as many as Ozuna, whose t-shirt I am wearing today. Just throwing that out there.
On the one video?
They are one third as popular as Ozuna.
Let's go to an Ozuna video right now. I'm just curious to see what the numbers are.
I would love to.
Okay. While you do that.
Okay.
John has really, he's moved the microphone out of the way. He's getting very serious. Yeah. We haven't even started yet. I'll give you a brief overview. The 21 Pilots are two guys. The drummer, Josh Dunn. The songwriter, pianist, bassist, ukuleleist. Is that a word?
Sure.
Tyler Joseph. Tyler began the band when he was in college. And it was a three-piece, and it ended amicably, and he had met Josh Dunn, and they had clicked in a way that I didn't want to describe it this way in the story because it seemed like I was trying to be salacious, but like they are adorable together, and they are really, really close. And the way they described meeting really did sound like the best first date ever. They are
in Columbus.
In Columbus.
Your second home.
I really do enjoy Columbus. Shout out Columbus.
Shout out Rob Harvilla. Shout out Chris DeVille. Shout out Hanif Abdurraqib.
And Andy Downey.
Him too.
Yes. Anyway, they have a platonic relationship. People write fan fiction about them that's a little dirty, so I don't want to imply anything.
What?
Yeah.
There's 21 Pilots. That's more exciting than Ozuna's YouTube numbers.
Yeah, no.
Which are brazy.
Andy Green did a story on them for Rolling Stone a year or two ago, and he asked them about it, and they were like, we don't read that stuff. It freaks them out. I mean, understandably so. There's a lot going on there.
I'm definitely tweeting some 21
Please don't. Please don't do that.
Definitely tweeting. That's going to be a podcast extra. I might do a dramatic reading.
Well, you can do that when I'm not here.
Okay.
Anyway, they got together as a band, and they really thought a lot, not just about what they sounded like, but about how they were going to become a successful band, which is interesting because a lot of like indie rock is like, well, yeah, I'll just play shows and, you know, I'll get on a label and I'll play some more shows. But they had an actual strategy, which involved sort of the theatricality of their music and the way they perform live, which was like, we're going to perform a bunch of shows, but we're not going to tell people about them. And we're going to gather up 3, 4, 5 people at each of these satellite cities of Columbus. Then we'll throw a big show. They're all going to show up and be like, who are these other people? Like having no idea that, you know, that they actually had a little bit of buzz going. And they did this for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden, you know, the way I said to them was like, somebody in New York at a bar, an A&R person must have been like, hey, have you heard about this band? And the next thing they knew, there were 12 reps there trying to sign them. And they signed to Fueled by Ramen. And they put out a record in 2013 called Vessel. And then they put out a record in 2015.
Good record. Vessel, extremely good record. You guys bang with Vessel or not?
Not yet.
Vessel heads?
Probably my favorite.
You know what? Let's play a song from Vessel just to get the music rolling here. Let's hear Car Radio.
Great. I'll look it up, but Car Radio it is.
So one of us just wrote a large story on 21 Pilots.
I ponder if something great. My lungs will fill and then deflate. They fill with fire, exhale desire. I know it's dire, my time today. I have these thoughts, so often I ought to replace that slot with what I once bought. Cause somebody stole my car radio, and now I just sit in silence. Sometimes quiet is violent. I find it hard to hide it. My pride is no longer inside. It's on my sleeve, my skin will scream, reminding me of who I killed inside my dream. I hate this car that I'm driving. There's no hiding for me. I'm forced to deal with what I feel. There is no distraction to mask what is real. I could pull the steering wheel. I have these thoughts, so often I ought to replace that slot with what I once bought. Cause somebody stole my car radio, and now I just sit in silence.
Okay, so that was sort of like an early version of, it's true to what they still sound like, which is they sound like a lot of everything. I think I described it in my review from the show that we did not attend together as sort of like spinning a radio dial, you know, like you hear rock and then you hear reggae and then you hear screamo and they're very dramatic.
In what city though? Which like, because, you know, not every city has a radio dial. You spin a radio dial in like San Antonio, Texas, and you're going to get... you know, Los Tigres del Norte.
I would say spinning a radio dial.
Montgomery Gentry.
During the time of my youth.
During
in New York.
In
the New York metropolitan area.
Long Island. Specifically yeah. in the late 80s to early 90s.
I would say mid-90s is when I was listening to the radio.
I just want to clarify.
Yeah, aging me a little
half
bit.
Half of our listeners have never even seen a radio. They don't even know what a radio is. Yeah, I know. It's going to be that kind of episode. Yeah.
Anyway, I'll speed it up because I know we have a lot of rock bands or so-called rock bands to talk about.
That is accurate.
But so Stressed Out became a really big hit. The band's breakout year is 2016, where it was sort of inescapable. They had that song and they had Heathens from the Suicide Squad soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Also an excellent song.
Sleeper banger soundtrack.
Yeah.
Sleeper banger soundtrack.
It wasn't that much of a sleeper.
The Judgment Night of 2016.
Shout out
some crowd to Chris Weingarten.
Yeah. Racing you to that one.
Yeah.
A lot of their songs, those two songs in particular, had sort of like a grimy, menacing, dark quality to them. And I think this is a lot of what drew young people to them. A lot of the songs are about feeling lost or searching for identity, having people who stand by your side. You know, they're not particularly sexual. They're not about partying. They don't tackle the topics that you would be like, oh, a rock band, this is what they sound like.
Well, they're into God.
They're earnest. They're into God, but they don't want to talk about it. So we didn't discuss it during this interview. But they both grew up in very strict Christian homes and were homeschooled for a period. And they don't really discuss what they're doing now, but they seem to live pretty much on the straight and narrow. I cut this line from my story because it was silly, but like I talked to them for 3 hours and at a certain point I realized that I was the only person using profanity and it made me feel weird and I stopped.
I did not know that. You didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Do you think they use profanity on the road, but in Columbus they won't?
No, I think that they really are just, it's not on their minds. I think that they're really...
good wholesome boys.
They are. They're very focused and they're really serious about the music. And they did say one thing that struck me that is in the story, where we were just talking about how artists treat their shows, and specifically maybe how rock bands treat their shows, where it's like you're kind of sleeping in, you're partying, you get to the show. They're like, you know, it's kind of cool to not be psyched for your show. Just like, oh, yeah, I'm playing a show. And then the show ends, you go drink, whatever. And they're like, we don't think that's cool. We think it's cool to care about the show and to give your fans your all and to not do anything to your body that would diminish your ability to perform at the level you perform at. Caveat that their show is very physical. Lots of leaping off of things and stunts and pyro and things like that. So they kind of have to be on their game.
Just as a quick sidebar, I don't know how to use YouTube on my phone because I'm old.
You have a computer sitting right here.
I can't get on the Wi-Fi because I'm old. But there are multiple Ozuna songs with upwards of 1 billion views.
Okay.
Just throwing that out there. Thank you very much. All right. Moving back.
I feel like I'm monopolizing. So does anyone have any questions about 21 Pilots that they'd like to ask me?
When did you guys first love and fall in love with 21 Pilots?
I haven't.
Hey!
Mischaracterization. I think I will when I read the Slash fiction later tonight.
Damn right. Yes. So, damn right.
That was the key I needed.
So you don't enjoy them, Corey?
It's just not for me. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things, like what Karen's saying, like there are elements in there that when they come around in a song, I'm like, okay, I can get with that. But then it's like, what is it, like Midwestern weather? You wait a minute and it's gone.
Yeah, sure. I mean? Can I ask you a really reductive question?
Sure.
Because a lot of what you cover is... you cover rock music. Like, that is what you cover.
Mostly.
Yes. Do you think 21 Pilots is a rock band?
I think in some ways they're a rock band. You know, like I said, before we started recording, I said that they started, they remind me most of 311 in a weird way, because they have the elements of dub, they have elements of rock, they have elements of rap. It's this sort of post 311 / Linkin Park idea of what rock and roll is.
Yep.
Do you consider Linkin Park rock and roll would be a question, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I'd say I do, mostly. But I feel like, no, at least because Chester was a singer, you
sure.
know?
But Mike's not. And Mike uses a lot of synthesizers. And there's a lot of, you know, like, they got a lot of great songs that aren't necessarily rock songs.
These are conversations and battles we were having in the late 90s and the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Ever since post-Nirvana, what is rock has been like a real question, because things have mutated a lot since then. So are 21 Pilots rock? Yeah, in some ways, I would say they certainly are. In other ways, I think they're a pop band. In other ways, you know, they're a hip-hop group. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Lindsay, what do you think?
My first thought of their aesthetic is that they kind of look like Lightning Bolt for babies.
Wow.
Like the boa constrictor thing. I mean, that's
strong.
It's a gateway drug. That's fine.
Wow.
No shots.
Yeah.
A little bit of a shot.
Shouts to all my four thunderheads. Oh my God.
Yeah, they seem nice. I read Karen's piece. I was like, oh, I see it. Like, I like that there seems to be a whole philosophy behind what they're doing. And it does seem like kind of a mainstream version of Straight Edge or something like that, mm-hmm. or of, you know, they're, yeah, but the music has not.
Couldn't catch.
Yeah, it. But I think it does kind of what you were saying, that it feels like everything on the dial in the mid to late 90s are just like every alternative rock radio station trope kind of in a single band. And that is, you know, I think there is a certain nostalgia for that sound that they seem to be mining. The song Stressed Out is sort of all about nostalgia and wish we could go back in time. You can
let's listen to Stressed Out.
We talked about it enough.
Yes, not the version I was humming before. Let's listen to Stressed Out for real.
To the good old days when the mama sang us to sleep, but now we're stressed out. Wish we could turn back time.
Used to play pretend, bunny. We used to play pretend, wake up, you need the money. Used to play pretend, bunny. We used to play pretend, wake up, you need the money. Used to play pretend, give each other different names. We would build a rocket ship and then we fly far away. Used to dream of outer space, but now they're laughing at the face, saying, wake up, you need to make money. Yeah.
So to me, look, here's the thing with 21 Pilots. First of all, the guy from Tyler, the main guy. Yeah. Is one of a handful of people in recent years that I have mistaken for Eminem on commercial radio, you know, along with Thomas Rhett and G-Eazy. So so these are hard times out here.
I think Tyler is a more gifted rapper.
Than Thomas Rhett. I should hope he's a better rapper than Thomas Rhett.
Well, then G-Eazy is where I was going with that. And then Eminem.
I mean, fair.
At this point, he's more mean. Yeah,
what I heard.
We know who has the venom. We know. So I don't think 21 Pilots is a rock band, or at least for the purposes of this conversation, I don't think 21
Pilots
is a rock band.
Can I raise a point that I think is interesting from your story? The influences that he mentioned were Billy Joel, Coldplay, and Gavin DeGraw.
Those were the early songs he learned to play on piano. So, he's very wary of talking about his influences because then people are like, oh yeah, I hear that in there. Oh, I hear that in there.
Oh, we hear it anyway. You don't have to talk about it.
What is his rock cred? Like, what did he come up with, I guess?
In general?
Yeah.
I think the innovation is that he's a very good songwriter and that he writes extremely hooky songs. I think that, you know, he blends these genres in a way that makes, you know, when you're describing what they sound like, people have written this before and I agree, it sounds terrible. But when you listen to it, it seems to make more sense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that he's like craven about the way he writes. I think the way he describes it is that, like, he has a lot to say and he has a lot of ideas for where a song can go. And he just, like, wants to turn the corners and doesn't really think about, well, I'm going to go into a reggae section now. It's just like, that's what he talks about songwriting in a very pure form. Like, this is what the song demands of itself, which is a way of, you know, removing himself from the process.
And that's why he feels okay borrowing so widely, basically, because he just sort of has this toolkit that he can draw upon from...
Yeah, that's sort of it. I mean, like, his line about the rapping is that he writes poetry and he writes a lot of lyrics, and then, like, when it doesn't fit, he just starts going faster.
Me too, bruh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would read the John Caramonica poetry collection.
but here's the thing, right? And, like, call me a fuddy-duddy, but, like, a rock band has a guitar. It has...
It doesn't have to have a guitar.
3 to 6 person structure.
You're being very.
I'm being strict. I'm not being strict. I'm maybe devil's advocating a little bit, but like to me, both when I saw them live and also when I listened to them on record, I do not taxonomically think of them as a rock band, even in their most rock moments. And I wonder if the reason we think of them as a rock band is basically they're white guys who play in an arena.
I think that's part of it, but I also think that there's an emotion attached to rock music and the drama of it.
What's wrong? No emotion in hip hop?
Less emotion.
Future? What? What? Are you Post Malone? What are you talking about? Future would like a word with you.
This is probably not correct, but I'm going to say it and then you can correct
me. Oh my God.
But I feel like a lot of hip hop songs start and end with the same mood. And that's why Stan was such a unique Eminem song, because it like took a very sweeping emotional journey.
Pedro, play some Ghetto Boys.
At night I can't sleep, I toss and turn, candlesticks in the dark, visions of bodies being burned, 4 walls just staring at it again. I'm paranoid, sleeping with my finger on the trigger. My mother's always stressing I ain't living right, but I ain't going out without a fight. See every time my eyes close.
I would say often, not every. Okay. Obviously, I
Karen's wearing a Rolling Stones t-shirt.
Don't expose me.
Sorry. I just throw it out.
It was clean.
It was clean. But yeah, I'm being sort of like purposely fuddy-duddy-ish because I feel like what I want to talk about today is how notions of what a rock band or rock music are both widening, but also the borders are also becoming way more porous. And that's something like when I engage with 21 Pilots, I feel like I'm being told to engage with them as a rock band, but almost nothing about them codes rock and roll to me.
I mean, I can see that. Mm-hmm. I think the label association with Fueled by Ramen, a label that like, you know, traditionally put out stuff like Fall Out Boy, Panic at the Disco, Paramore, helps put you in that mindset.
Right.
I think too, there's something, they feel very post-alternative rock to mm-hmm. me. And I think that was my sort of coming of age of what rock was like listening to the alternative rock station. And like you said, they just sound like an amalgamation of like everything that was playing at a certain time in the sort of the canonized hits of the alt rock era, that some of which have aged well, some of which have aged terribly, but they sound like all of that. And I think that's the context that I'm coming at them from. And like, I can understand them as a rock band more, and maybe just, you know, again, like 311 every like 20 minutes, there is a 311 song playing on those radio stations and certain.
Is that why you're wearing an amber colored shirt today?
Amber Ooh. Is the color of my energy now and always.
It's quick reference.
I have two things to respond to you, which I think one of them will propel us perhaps into another part of our conversation. Mm. One is that I saw Nine Inch Nails last night, and I did think about 21 Pilots during that show, not just because I love them.
You were just thinking about them anyway.
Just, you know, with little hearts over my head.
You think about them when you're watching like WWE. Like
it's
got nothing to do
with
it.
It's very dramatic. I mean, you can see all the things I like in life are sort of being pulled together by costumes and people jumping off of things, I guess.
Fair That's point.
The thread here. But I thought about them during Nine Inch Nails because I had forgotten how much of Nine Inch Nails music is programmed in on synths.
Yes.
And we think of them as such like a rock band. But like the truth is that they weren't really a rock band, you know, and they were really weird. And then I tweeted this, but I was like, I could not get over how weird it was that Closer was on the radio every 10 minutes when I was in high school. Yeah. What a weird song.
Yeah.
Did not sound like anything else. Super synthy, super like, you know, obviously lyrically they bleeped it, but it was still like a very strong song. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I was thinking about the theatricality and the energy of that show and how I could see 21 Pilots drawing from that. But the other thing that you were saying about the amalgam of the styles and stuff, Joe Coscarelli in his wonderful feature on the 1975 was basically, when Joe and I were writing our story simultaneously, we were talking about the similarities between these bands, even though they don't necessarily sound the same. What Matty Healy from the 1975 said he was doing was basically taking all of the things that he hears today and smooshing them together and making them into a rock band. It's like, well, it's pretty much what
21 Pilots.
Yeah, they're saying the same thing, even though the sound is coming out quite different.
Yeah, I mean the Healy quote, I think, is something to the effect of like, I hear something I love and I rip it off.
Yeah, like, and he's like, and it's never a rock band unless it's a classic rock band. That guy is a quote machine. Mm-hmm. And I mean, 21 Pilots were also super articulate, but I have to say I read Joe's story and was like, there are some amazing quotes in here too.
Yeah, I mean, Matty Healy definitely seems to be a person who knows how to speak about being Matty Healy.
Yeah, the Jim Morrison quote was my favorite.
So I can't.
Yeah, there are a lot of great quotes. Everybody go read Joe Coscarelli is not with us today, but we read his story.
I mean, he's alive.
Yes. He's just not with us in the studio today. He's not no longer with us.
Right, exactly. Before we fully transition into talking about the 1975, I did want to talk about another thing that I think unifies these two bands. And I think that's the internet. And I think it's a very specific era of the internet. So earlier this year, I think I wrote a thing about Post Malone and Ray Schremer and how they're sort of like optimal streaming era bands, because that's how art bands. See,
there you go.
There, I just did it.
The rock is the real infecting your brain.
Those are the real rock stars. So optimal streaming era acts because all the music bleeds into each other. And in a streaming ecosystem, that's actually, you know, that's a way to trigger or to de-trigger, basically, listeners. But that's not how the internet always was. When we think of sort of like mid-2000s internet into late-2000s internet, the sales pitch was like, you can listen to anything. Everything's available. You want to listen to weird reggae, obscure rhythm albums? They're there. You want to listen to industrial music from the late 80s? It's there. You want to listen to vintage country music from the Carter family? It's there. So there was this idea that you would start to have artists who would kind of take all of these things and make something out of it. And when I first heard 21 Pilots, my vibe on it was like, maybe this is what that turned out to be. Like, maybe this is where we've arrived at. And when I listened to them, and then when I listened to the 1975 later, I was like, oh, it's interesting that the people who are the real synthesizers have turned out to be these like quasi rock bands who realize that rock as sort of a standalone aesthetic position and category isn't relevant, but there is still like a rock sized hole that needs to be filled. So they're filling it with this kind of what sounds to me like late 2000s, like I'm into every, you know, like
I agree with that. But I actually had one more point. Sorry, I'm going to slow us down before we can move on. Another thing that I thought that Joe and I both realized when we were talking about our stories, and it's also related to Robin, the pop star who I profiled recently, was that all of these people are really serious about writing their own music and having complete creative control.
Yeah. Mm.
There is a great line in Joe's story where he was like, no record executive has ever told me what to do. We tweeted it yesterday and it was like a billion retweets on that. And 21 Pilots are like fanatical about not letting people affect their music. So they showed up once they signed to the label. Tyler would walk into sessions with really big name producers who have worked on, you know, Dr. Dre and Eminem, Fiona Apple Records, with all of his songs done in an effort to have them not co-write with him because he felt so passionately about it. And I mentioned to them, I was like, you know, Robin took 8 years between albums because she just hadn't felt the muse. And she wasn't going to go write with another writer to inspire herself. And he was like, yeah, I would never. They didn't want to write with anyone. They see that as being a pop thing.
Right. And until your piece, I actually did not know that Mike Elizondo is one of the producers on Stressed Out, which is maybe not surprising in retrospect. Now,
did he do that song? Because I knew he was on the record, but I wasn't 100% about the song.
I'm pretty sure.
We'll fact check this.
That's what the internet says.
Okay. Well, I trust the internet. But anyway, but that's a distinction that these artists were all making. Although, I mean, Robin's pops, that's a different conversation. But the 1975 and 21 Pilots to me also, what's with all the numbers?
That's also an internet thing.
Yeah.
That's also like a weird thing.
Yeah. Although you know the story behind.
I do.
21 Pilots. I'll just briefly tell you this from an Arthur Miller play about a World War II era airplane parts provider who knew that his parts were going to kill people if they went out, and he sent them anyway, and then 21 Pilots died. And now you can move on.
It's also about the collapse of democracy, et cetera, et cetera. So let's listen to a little of the 1975. This is a song from the forthcoming album, which is out next month. The album's called A Brief Inquiry into Online Relationships, which sounds like a McSweeney's post.
Not wrong.
Yeah. And let's play Two Time, Two Time, Two Time. To Latin Trap and the Chainsmokers, boy, did the 1975 have a song for you. This is an incredibly strange song. I find it very catchy, but it is extremely bizarre. And I want to just say, I know that the entire record is not out available, but I've heard the entire record. And this is like a weird SoundCloud R&B record. It's very strange. There's like two songs that are even rock adjacent, and there's a bunch of stuff that sounds like cast off Miguel demos. There's a lot going on here. So I asked the question, Lindsay Zoledz, I can feel, I can see your body language.
My amber energy.
It is your body language. It's like pushing you towards the microphone. Please defend the 1975 on rock terms, if you can.
Okay. So I feel like the nostalgia of 21 Pilots that we were talking about, to me, the 1975 are the flip side of that, of like looking to the future.
Sure.
And not and or just somewhat to, anxious just
to
about
future,
it.
Just to actual future.
Yeah, and looking to future and baby future, yes. And, you know, all the futures. True. I see them as the rare rock band that when I listen to especially the new songs, I think the last record was also like this too, but I hear nostalgia and kind of old alt rock in a band like 21 Pilots or the bands we'll talk about later. I hear what it sounds and feels like to be alive in 2018 mm-hmm. in the 1975's music, particularly in Love It If We Made It, which is my jam.
Mm-hmm. We're going to come to that for
sure. We'll get to that.
Oh, yeah.
The We Didn't Start the Fire of this generation.
I love how dude didn't know who wrote that song.
That's perfect.
He really suggested it,
which amazing. Is like, that's the band in a tweet. So they played SNL like 2 years ago on the last record.
Did not like.
A lot of people didn't. And that's why, like, I think there's something really polarizing about them and about Matty Healy in particular. And I think he just, like, leans into that Michael Hutchence thing that, like, and just goes with
it. But does he know it's Michael Hutchence is the question. Yeah.
I think he would love people, like, being offended by thinking he doesn't. Like, there's just something so, like, so many levels of like irony and self-awareness and earnestness to what they're doing that feels, again, like very post-Tumblr.
There's a good photo that goes with Joe's piece where he's like holding, I don't know what kind of flower it is.
Yeah.
All my botanists get at me and tell me what kind of flower it is, but it's like a lavender flower that's in bloom. And he's like holding it like as if it's coming from his mouth. And like face staring up into the camera, like offering you this gift.
I mean, that guy's a rock star.
And I think he's smoking a cigarette behind it. Too. Yes. There's like plumes of smoke.
Oh my God.
Again, that is
them.
Yeah.
He has, rock and roll, baby. Wow.
He has that quality of like the very fluid in every way, floppy, kind of like, you know, just loose, comfortable in his body, rock star. Whereas like 21 Pilots seem very rigid and more Trent. Like, well, you know how Trent stands at the microphone and he like doesn't move, you know, from the standing position or like the braced position. Yeah.
I think that's maybe something that feels more contemporary about 21 Pilots, whereas I think the throwback vibe of the 1975 is in him like really self-consciously being a rock star and kind of, you know, having the moves like Jagger, as it were.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah.
I knew we were going to get to Maroon 5. I just didn't know how fast.
Oh. I follow someone on Instagram who was at a Maroon 5 concert at the Garden the other night, and it was disturbing.
Yeah, don't look at me like it was me.
It really wasn't.
I'm off the gram.
Yeah, off the gram. Are you off the Maroon, though?
So the 1975.
Also, Maroon 5 is like a good SoundCloud rapper name, just for the sidebar.
But there's also all this thing with the 1975. This is very superficial, but it's like, do you know any of the other guys' names?
No.
No.
Yeah. It's the same with Imagine Dragons. I think like people know Dan Reynolds, but they might not know the rest. I mean, I guess it was like that with a lot of 90s bands.
Yeah, I remember that when like Matchbox 20 was a thing, nobody knew even Rob Thomas's name for a long, long time until like Carlos Santana took him on.
It's true.
Wasn't there also like at some point like a pretty funny BuzzFeed quiz where they basically had 10 anonymous like 2000s rock bands and 10 names and you had to mix and match, you had to match them up and like.
But there is an anonymity to rock in the past decade or whatever. But I think the fact that Matty Healy is such a star. I mean, he really is. The thing I love about them is exactly what you said. I crave a rock star. We don't, you know, people talk about this all the time. When I was at Rolling Stone, we would do a Death of the Rock Star, or you'd almost do a Death of the Rock Star story every year. Mm-hmm. But you don't get a guy like Matty every day.
Yes, but we're talking about rock stars and rock bands, but we are not talking about rock music.
And John.
But I do. Well, I think he's a fantastic lyricist. And we were talking about the sort of quotability of the interview that he gave to Joe. And I do think that translates to his lyrics. He's really good with a hook, but there's just little turns of phrase in there.
Do you want to quote any?
The millennial that baby boomers like?
Yeah, it me. But I love, so from the...
It me, the baby boomer that millennials.
John, you're trapped between generations.
It's true, it's true. I'm like X.5.
Yeah. I love the line from the single from the last record, Somebody Else, where he says, I'm looking through you while you're looking through your phone and leaving with somebody else. Like, that's such a...
That's
like
good.
Drake. Kind of, it's like Drake.
Right?
That is like Drake.
He's got bars.
It's like Matty
Healy's got bars.
It's like Drake if Drake spent 2 weeks in the studio with Taylor.
Ooh.
Which, John, stop secreting things during the podcast.
I'm just trying to incept the sound of 2020. Excuse me. So Lindsay, let's go to the song that you want to talk about. Tell us, tell us what the song is again.
Love It If We Made It.
Love It If We Made It. Let's get into it. So Matty Healy cares. He's aware. He's locked in. He checks the Twitter feed. Or at least some kind of aggregator of tweets. He's up on things.
He's online.
He's up on. Yeah, he's up. Yeah, he's in the world.
He's very online.
He's online. Talk about this song.
I love this song.
Okay.
It is, again, I said, the We Didn't Start the Fire. Mm-hmm. If someone who thought In Excess did We Didn't Start the Fire made it in 2018.
Should we play We Didn't Start the Fire in case people don't know We Didn't Start the Fire?
No,
we
should. Our producer is begging us not to.
What else do I have to say? Okay, I'm
Look,
sorry.
Look, we could do the whole song if we needed to.
No, you could. I definitely could. I just know the cool parts.
It's my party trick, my karaoke.
Hey!
What is happening?
Hey, this is Andrew Ross Sorkin from the New York Times. We're getting ready for the Big Deal Book Conference in New York City. This year it takes place on November 1st, and we're going to be talking about some of the biggest issues at the intersection of business and policy. We've assembled some of the brightest minds for one day, all on the same stage. The CEOs of Google, Goldman Sachs, 21st Century Fox, Snapchat, General Motors, Merck, and so many more. I'm going to be asking some pretty tough questions about provocative issues and the hottest topics of the day. If you want to get in on it, you can check it out, nytdealbookconference.com. Hope to see you there.
This is Sam Sifton, food editor of the New York Times. Whether you're just starting out in the kitchen or looking to up your game, NYT Cooking is here with more than 19,000 times-tested recipes and all the help you need to cook them well. Subscribe today at nytcooking.com/podcast.
Okay, so that was We Didn't Start the Fire, which is a great rap song from the late 80s.
Truly. If we're going to hear that, then are we not going to listen to It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine?
I've never heard of that artist or band or anything about that. I don't know those people. So, okay. So for context, that was that. Matty Healy doesn't know who wrote it, but he loves it. And this is what and then he gave birth to this other song.
Yeah. I don't know that it was like a conscious influence. Maybe it was. Who knows? I mean, it also reminds me of like Jenny Holzer lines too. It's just like the kind of data dump. Like he's just singing headlines and kind of states of being. Poison me, daddy.
That's
the lyric
that's the
in the song. Rest in peace, little peep.
Yes.
The poetry is in the streets.
Real rock star.
At one point is like essentially quoting Donald Trump and then saying, thank you, Kanye. Very cool. So there's a tone of the song that to me feels very like the way that we're all sort of complicit in this. And there's a fear and anxiety in the song. But it's also kind of like, how do you escape it? I'm aware of all these things. It just feels very, again, how it has felt to be alive in 2018 and bombarded with this text and information and feeling that the oceans are going to dry up in 40 years and what does it all matter? But I'd love it if we made it and survived as a species. So
why will none of the assembled scholars of rock grab their microphone and through their spit guard say 21 Pilots and the 1975 make rock music?
I will.
Grab the microphone.
I'm not supposed to move the microphone.
Oh, my God.
I agree with you, but how would you describe the sound of this song, though? Because to me, well, I'm not going to. You describe.
Well, it does. There's really like a synthetic and sheeny quality to their music that I think also separates them from 21 Pilots that have sort of that grit. Like, this is just like Lysol sheen on the guitars and production. There are guitars. And occasionally
it's major label Chillwave half this record. Fair. Sorry.
I mean, I haven't listened to all of the new record yet. It's not out yet. So that's acceptable.
Sorry.
But I listen to that song and I hear Blur.
And Blur, one of my favorite bands. So
yeah, I love Blur.
A lot of set. Yeah, I actually was thinking about that on the way here. And also, like, charismatic frontman. He's kind of over it and arch and ironic, but earnest at the same time.
Right,
like,
but Maddie, he's already making Gorillaz records.
Right, but you have to be totally. Do you have to be English to achieve this?
You have to be I think you have to be
that
disconnected.
That might be an issue
from,
with the next band we talk about.
But you have to be disconnected from Black American source music, I do think, on some level. Because, like, one of the things that I sort of, that unify these bands, besides their kind of, like, radio dial-ish and 1.0 internet-ishness, is it's a lot of, we need a, not we, not me, but, like, apparently the country needs, like, white male rock stars as a category, like, heavy quote marks. And now they have these guys who are sort of that. They're not really that, but they fill the gap that, like, for some reason, homegrown American rock scenes, whether it's metalcore or third wave or fourth wave emo or none of these other scenes have created an act of this scale.
I don't know if there are homegrown rock scenes anymore in the streaming age. I think that's something that's gone away.
Warped Tour would Warped Tour died.
You know,
well, Warped Tour. There you go.
This is Corey's area of expertise.
I know.
Give him the mic.
But the thing that kind of struck me listening to the 1975 is that, you know, I think he sings about being turning 30 or something like that. And I was thinking about 21 Pilots. They're like 29, 30. These are all people that grew up in, you know, like the burgeoning streaming era. And moreover, their ideas of rock music, what is rock music back then, was like The Killers or like, trying to think of some other band.
My Chemical Romance,
yeah. And
a great rock band. Sorry.
And those are bands that took from previous bands, The Killers obviously into New Order, obviously into Bowie and stuff like that. And it's this sort of Xerox effect, this, you know, to use a Trent term, copy of a copy, where this thing kind of keeps on just, you know, it degrades with each copy and not necessarily degrading. I'm not trying to say that in like a negative sense, let's say here.
Mutates.
I'm not personally a fan of the 1975, but it does sort of degrade when it comes into this.
Have I brought you here only to talk about bands that you don't like? That's fine. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm here to talk about rock music.
Oh, there it is.
So, John stood up.
Thank you.
That's what I was waiting for.
But so it's just been this general, like I said, degradation with time, which I mean is a natural thing anyway. Like U2 and REM had their influences and, you know, they influenced the Killers and now the Killers influenced the 1975 and it becomes this weird polyglot. But yeah, there are no more homegrown rock scenes like you were saying, you know.
I think, not on a major label level, but I mean, you know, if we're looking at hardcore, if we're looking at kind of.
Well, you know, okay, hardcore is a different thing because
hardcore,
and punk rock in particular are like totally tied to physical media more than streaming. Granted, they you know, like they distribute stuff through streaming too, but like.
You got to be at the show.
People that are into like black metal and into punk and hardcore, they still buy cassettes. They still buy vinyl and they mail order things and they know what a distro is and.
Is Decibel still publishing?
It is still publishing.
Shouts to Albert.
Yeah.
I don't know if Albert ever listens to podcasts, but shouts to Albert, my old friend. Just as a quick sidebar, what's Decibel banging? What American rock bands are Decibel banging right now?
American bands?
Yeah. None of that Norwegian stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say the last cover I remember they did was Behemoth, which are from Poland.
Yeah.
American bands, I mean, they're always repping their Morbid Angel and Cannibal Corpse. I don't know who's put out. I'm trying to think of who's put out records this year. I'm trying to remember the covers.
Like an Ogalock record this year. Like what's going on?
Not on the cover of Decibel.
Oh, okay, it's thrown out there.
But these fans look for those ads in the back of these magazines and they buy their records from there. The rock music that we're talking about, the hashtag mainstream rock, is not built in that kind of infrastructure. It is built online. It is built on Reddit and, you know, streaming services and that sort of a thing. And, you know, I'm sure we'll get to Imagine Dragons. My theory of Imagine Dragons is Reynolds.
We're there now.
Yeah. They were listening to Bastille one day and said, that sounds good. Let's turn this into something. And they did, you know, and it's just this weird polyglot of streaming music. And this is what has become rock. And this is what, you know.
Like, Imagine Dragons are the biggest band in America.
To be fair, when I was listening to the 1975 album, I did write down the word Bastille twice.
Sure.
For different songs.
Exactly.
And I when I saw Bastille at like the Bowery Ballroom, I never could have anticipated that like
they're so influential.
The Velvet Underground of the late 2010s. Oh my god.
Yes. I could not have anticipated that.
I'll leave now.
No, that is you did peak just that.
And Bastille are on the charts right now with Marshmallow. They have a song with Marshmallow right now. And that's what that's become.
Now what
Pedro, do these heavy sighs get caught through the spit guards?
Would that sentence have meant anything 3 years ago?
Do you think now's the time to talk about some real rock music?
Real rock that really rocks?
That really rocks?
Okay.
Really
I don't know, rocks. Jackson Maine. What are you trying to say?
I just wanted to take another listen to Greta Van Fleet. So that's The Cold Wind from Greta Van Fleet, who have an album that is called Anthem of the Peaceful Army. And if you heard that song and you compared it to any of the songs that we have previously played on this episode of Popcast, you might be confused because you might think, wow, big rock stars like 21 Pilots in 1975 don't sound like this. So is this real rock music? Corey?
I think it's the traditional idea of what rock music is. We want to talk about what is rock music, there's the traditional idea that it's basically just a guitar and drums. You know what I mean? That's really all you need to have a rock band. As we've been saying, you know, as Karen's been saying, you know, that's been subverted over the years. You know, Big Black didn't need a drummer and they rocked. You know, Depeche Mode don't play guitars and they've had their rock moments. Greta Van Fleet,
I disapprove.
They certainly wear their influences on their frilly sleeves, their frilly satin sleeves.
When you say influences, are you like naming all four members of Led Zeppelin one by one?
To be fair, I'm referring to Led Zeppelin and Kingdom Come.
Okay.
Those are the two.
Although on this album, there is like a tiny bit of change. John Perales in his review notes the mild vocabulary.
Allman Brothers.
Yeah, like I do. The first thing I wrote down when I was listening to this was the band and Almost Famous. Sweetwater.
Yeah, which was Led Zeppelin under
right. So,
pseudonym.
So yes, they reach all the way from Led Zeppelin to the band in the movie that's about hanging with Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
I mean it's just a huge swath.
Well, I mean copying Led Zeppelin is the history of hard rock right there. Like I mentioned Kingdom Come. Like there were so many bands in the 80s that did that I remember Gary Moore did a song with Ozzy called Led Clones, LED Clones.
Oh,
that
wow.
was just ripping on all these bands that couldn't come up with a single idea of
that
their
sounds
own.
Dope. Was it a hot song or was it not?
It was
good?
A cool song. All right. I liked it.
All right, let's play that. We'll Maybe they'll start beef with Greta Van Fleet. Or maybe Greta Van Fleet will start.
It's a very 80s, very 80s take on what Led Zeppelin was, but you know what I mean?
I think a lot of these bands have tried to sound like Led Zeppelin, but they haven't had a singer who actually could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy sounds so much like Plant. Robert Plant. Yeah. Sorry. I was trying to think of that guy's name. So I was like, maybe I shouldn't just call him that guy.
That guy.
Yeah, that wasn't nice. You know, and then I got confused. But anyway, I mean, like, it's actually, when we were talking about the replica degrading upon each copy, like, this one's very sharp.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It really does sound a lot like Led Zeppelin.
It's like simulacra Led Zeppelin.
Yeah. It's like car commercial Led Zeppelin. Mm-hmm. It's basically like started by like a music supervisor who was basically like, it's too expensive to license Led Zeppelin. But what if we found guys and we just made them do fake Led Zeppelin songs and we could license them super cheap?
Now, here's a question. Corey, as a representative of Rolling Stone.
Okay.
And rock.
Well, yeah.
And therefore.
What is the Rolling Stone party line on this band?
Wow.
It doesn't have to be your personal taste, but, you know, like, you know, I work there. I know the vibe.
I will say that my personal take is that I'm not a fan. This is another one. But that we do support them as an organization.
That is what I suspected.
Yes.
Jesus. It sounds like the Saudis. My God. It was devastating.
When they came out, I told the publicist, who I'm friendly with, I'm just like, look, I really appreciate you sending this to me, but this is just not for me. To me, it just sounds too much like Led Zeppelin. I can't take this. Can't take this seriously. And then they've gotten huge, and I've been, you know, I'm not necessarily going to eat crow because I don't feel bad for my opinion, but like I'm surprised that they're huge. Like, I'd say the same thing about Ghost, who are like owning the hard rock charts. Like, never thought they would be that big.
That's my question, though. I can't get a sense of how big they actually are, and maybe that's because I am not the target audience, though I don't really understand what it is. But I do feel like there's a lot of industry support behind them, and kind of what you were saying about that. Like, I think they're first single had placement in like a TV show, and that literally
that
what I think it was Shameless. So
it wasn't that weird. What was the show about roadies that was on HBO or Showtime?
The Cameron Crowe show.
It's almost like this is the band on that show.
Yeah,
I think it was just roadies.
I think Cameron Crowe wrote roadies. This podcast.
Cameron Crowe wrote this album. Yeah. Yo, someone check the liner notes.
But I can't. I've sort of been hearing the party line that they're very big and popular, and I was kind of looking at the numbers and just trying to make sense. So I'm curious if anyone.
They're popular, surprisingly, like with really young people, 20 somethings. Like I don't know, like whatever comes after millennials really like them. Like, I was talking to a college student in Denver recently who was telling me that she was super excited that She was super excited that Greta Van Fleet was coming to town, and that was like a concert she was excited for. And like I said, you know, I was talking with one of my coworkers at Rolling Stone who's in her 20s, and she's, you know, she looks at them kind of like, you know, ironically, and, you know, kind of, you know what I mean? Just like they could be fun live, but like it's like what John's been saying. They're a band that sort of just fill this gap for a lot of people. You know, if you remember, like in college, like everybody had the Led Zeppelin poster, like the Stairway to Heaven lyrics and the wizard on the mountaintop there. And I think that Greta Van Fleet to a certain group of people are like, I mean, it's like when I, you know, I'm 38, I'm turning 38. I remember the Black Crowes being like, wow, what a great band the Black Crowes are. And then it's like, then you all of a sudden you hear Exile on Main Street and you're just like, screw the Black Crowes. I don't want to listen to this ever again.
MTV, you misled us.
Yeah.
But I wonder, that is kind of also what I've heard is just like, got to see them live. And it feels like for the college kid or the guy, the 16-year-old that's like learning how to play Stairway to Heaven on the guitar.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you can get into those records, but you can't go see Led Zeppelin live, or at least not in the same way that you could in, you know, the 70s. So they kind of seem to exist as a live act to like experience them live, to experience these sounds that you were not around when they were originating, which is interesting and feels kind of a throwback. Like what we've been saying about the internet would not make it seem like that would be a successful model. And yet I think it is this like niche market of a touring rock band to get people out to go see a rock show. Like, it feels anachronistic, but I think that's a real thing still.
And the other thing about like hard rock has always been about the live show. Mm-hmm. Hard rock is about the performance and selling t-shirts more than CDs and records anyway. You know what I mean? They had their moment in the 90s, like hard rock bands. But it's that is, you know, you're totally right. You know, that is exists there just for that. And they also exist to just, one positive thing I'll say about Greta Van Fleet is like when they're on the radio, it does give you a break from the monotony of all the American dumb rock.
Wait, what radio station plays
that? I know.
That?
I was like, what are you listening to?
I funnily enough,
is there like a Sirius station?
I listen to my hometown rock radio station, the active rock station, because I just want to know what's getting played on the radio.
Wait,
what? Listen to Kilo 94.3 in Colorado Springs on my phone. There's an app for it. And I've been like checking in with it today. I check in. They still play Pink Floyd. They still play White Zombie. They still play all this stuff. But then they also play, you know, your Godsmacks and these really horrible, you know, the worst of the worst of hard rock. But Greta Van Fleet does sort of just play that stopgap between what was, like, let's say, Pink Floyd and what is now like 3 Days Grace or something like that. They are that sort of bridge in there, too.
Mm-hmm. Which is weirdly similar to kind of what you were saying about streaming culture of the kind of non-disruptive flow of, you know, a Post Malone record or mm-hmm. something. And in a way, like, it's they're not disrupting the sound of
right.
playing Wish You Were Here on the hour every hour and by playing a band that sounds, whereas like if the 1975 would not be played on that station,
no,
it would be jarring.
Not. Yeah. It's the environs of active rock and hard rock and whatever lingo you want to call that style of music, you know what I mean?
Well, okay, so quick plot twist of this podcast. The quick plot twist is I don't dislike the Greta Van Fleet record.
What just happened?
Ooh, that's a quick plot twist. I think because I feel not a lot of possessiveness over Led Zeppelin. It's not the music culture that I was raised on, so I don't feel like any anxiety of like, these guys sound just like
so-so. You're not comparing it.
Yeah, I mean, I am comparing it because I know the source material, but I don't feel that emotional.
I just think it's tiresome. I don't have a problem with anything.
Did you read any of the lyrics, John?
No.
That would stop you.
I thought they sang in Polish. I didn't realize they were singing in English. But also, and we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, I feel like with rock music especially, there are these spaces that rock bands are ostensibly supposed to fill, but there aren't a lot of rock bands that can fill the space. And so you have a band like Greta Van Fleet, which feels sort of like an invention to fill the radio slot, to fill the Irving Plaza rock night. It seems like those things are pre-existing, and then some band kind of arrives to be like, well, I guess it's us.
I feel like in the early 2000s, during the, dare I say it, rock revival of like, you know, 2002 to 2007.
Call it by its name.
Yeah. That's amazing. I didn't feel like there was slot filling at that point. And, you know, maybe it's...
Those bands weren't actually popular.
They were in their way.
But they were not like...
But they were on major labels.
They weren't popular.
They were
cool kid popular, but they weren't like radio popular.
I think they sold some records. I think the Strokes sold some records. Mm-hmm. I think the AAA sold some records.
The White Stripes.
The White Stripes mm-hmm. certainly White Stripes. Were massive. Mm-hmm.
See, it's funny when you talked about that, in my mind, what you were talking about was like the Evanescences and
Corey
and I worked at different places during those years.
And like Nickelback.
Tell him why you're mad, Corey. Yeah. Tell him why you're mad.
And well, that was also rock music, but that didn't need to be revived.
I used to grow up in Colorado, so I didn't. I was
that
living in Colorado.
That music never went away. It never needed to be revived because there's always.
But that was like the rock revival on MTV2 at the moment, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
all that stuff.
System of a Down.
Yeah.
I remember that era as well. But I didn't feel like the Killers. I can't believe I put the Killers in there. Sorry to the other bands. I'm not the biggest Killers fan in the world. The Strokes.
Sorry to the Killers.
I don't even know who I'm apologizing to. It's been a very long month. It didn't feel to me like they were TV on the radio was filling a slot. It felt like an innovation that was drawing on things from the past. Because obviously, all music draws on something from the past. You know, nothing's truly, truly brand new. But it wasn't like, I didn't feel like there was like a venue slot or a radio playlist or like a major label slot that those things were filling. And I think that maybe we look on it back on it so nostalgically is because it felt organic. And maybe that was the last time that rock music felt organic in a while. I mean, it's not like indie rock died. Matador and all these places still put out records and we cover them sometimes because they don't register in the streaming ecosystem. I think we often just shunt them off to the side.
I think something we're kind of dancing around and like have been mentioned a little bit, though, is like what we're defining as mainstream rock is literally all white men.
Yep.
And I think the second that a person of color in a band like TV on the Radio or a woman is one of these bands, and I think,
even
you know,
in
it
a,
just...
Even in a popular, like even a parable.
Yeah,
like
and I think that's, again, as someone I was raised on like alt-rock radio in the mid-90s, loved it. There was kind of a moment where bands like No Doubt and Garbage, and there were women for a minute, and then there just was not as soon as the rap rock stuff happened. And I do think a lot of, on the mainstream radio sense of like what gets defined as rock, still is influenced by the history of that format that really was both racist and sexist. They played Eminem on those stations, but they wouldn't play
like Dr. Dre.
Yeah, and I was going to say too, like, I think Slater-Kinney made, to my mind, the best Led Zeppelin record of this century with The Woods.
The Woods, yeah, totally.
And, like, maybe the my favorite rock record of the past 15 years, but
Should we play something?
Oh, I would love
to pick a song. Yes. Pick a song.
I mean, let's do The Fox, the first one.
Let's hear the real Greta Van Fleet.
True heir of Robert Plant.
That's totally true. And it just made me think about how rock radio and country radio really aren't that different at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did a package last year about all the young women making rock and punk music. And it's like, you're not going to hear it on the radio. And there's really, for some of them, no reason at all why it couldn't be on the radio. I mean, I guess part of it is that there isn't a lot of rock radio.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, I don't know the numbers on this, but what is the state of rock radio right now in terms of number of stations or how the stations are being apportioned? Obviously, there's active rock. There are all these kind of like new or neo categories, new umlaut categorizations. What is rock radio?
No, I think it's actually thriving. It's just not in New York. So we are skewed.
Okay.
And it's absolutely astounding. I've been saying this for years and years that we lost a couple of our rock stations. Like 92.3 was a rock station. 102.3 was like an older rock station. 92.7 WDRE, which I grew up on. They're all gone. But K-Rock is still very powerful in LA. And I'm sure you can attest that your Denver station is going strong.
Yeah. We have Nash FM, which is basically a rock station. It just is. Nash FM is the national country music. It's like country music national franchise. The New York station like feels quasi rock when it's not being quasi hip hop.
The thing about rock radio too, though, is the same thing about all radio, is it's all controlled. You know, like going to your point, Lindsay, is just like it's controlled by radio programmers and music programmers. And when it comes to rock radio in general, like a lot of those are just controlled by one company, which is iHeartMedia. And, you know, there's some guy in some office that's deciding all of this stuff.
It's definitely a guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say it's a white guy.
That should actually be the end of the podcast. There's not really anything else to say after that.
You know, that's why it's so homogenous.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
I'd like to talk about what is rock music on the charts for a moment, because I don't know if anybody, I feel like this has come up maybe in a previous podcast, but if you look at the Billboard rock charts, they're pretty wacky.
Yep.
And they're wacky for two reasons. They're wacky because, number one, anytime a band that is notionally a rock band, 21 Pilots, Imagine Dragons, anytime they release an album, almost every song is on the rock charts. Like, it's like a Drake-like effect.
Mm. Yeah.
So almost every song. So if you have like the top 25, invariably half of them will be just the new songs from whatever the band is for weeks at a time. But I think because there isn't a kind of sufficient rock underground, and by that I don't mean the rock that we actually all care about and listen to mostly, but I mean like a mainstream rock underground, you have like weird things that creep into the Billboard rock charts. And I thought it might be amusing for us to listen to a few of these things. I may just be showing my ignorance here, but as I was flipping through these charts earlier, I don't know, man, half of this stuff. So I thought it might be funny if we listened to some of that stuff. And I feel like I don't want to tell you what it is until you hear it. Okay, let me see. I'm having some Wi-Fi trouble. So let's see if it succeeds. Let's see.
Lovely the Band.
Who is he? Walk the Moon?
Lovely the Band.
Lovely the Band?
Did you just Shazam that?
No.
He just knows. Awesome.
I listened to all this.
It sounds
this
like Walk the Moon or Foster the People.
Okay. So that was Lovely the Band, ID'd immediately by Human Shazam Corey Grove. That is a song called Broken, and it is currently number 3 on the Billboard Hot Rock Songs chart.
Wow. I don't know who that is.
I'm unfamiliar, Corey. The photo of this band is just 3 dudes sitting with their legs crossed.
Sounds about right.
Could have been me and you, for all I know,
sure.
Just after a long weekend.
Maybe
out
it is.
Out in Red Rocks. Could have happened. So, Corey, what's the deal with Lovely the Band?
I don't know their backstory at all. I was just listening to them, and I just was thinking that synth line just sounds exactly like someone that I used to know. Mm-hmm. And it's true. Crazy that this is, like, number 3 on the rock charts. And my other thought was just that it's another song. Like, I was listening to all of these songs today on the Hot Rock Songs chart. And this one stood out to me.
So you cheated.
I told you I came in with crib
notes.
You
did his homework.
You gave us homework. We just didn't
do it. That's true.
I did. And it's one of these themes. It's like, I like that you're broken, lonely like me, are some of the lyrics. And so the whole thing about it is it's one of these broken love songs. There's like all these different versions of rock songs today. And there's the broken love song. There's the I'm crazy song. It's just a bunch of sad sacks on a lot of the stuff. You know what I mean? Just complaining about things.
It sounded like MGMT mixed with Foster the People, mixed with Walk the Moon.
Yeah.
A&R's Hire Me.
Also, it was bad. It was also a bad song.
It was.
No, it wasn't good.
Yeah, it was a bad song.
Yes.
So that's number 3 if you guys are stressed about rock music. Okay. Here is another song on the Hot Rock Songs chart.
John Mayer. It's John Mayer.
No.
I was like, I know that voice.
Is this New Light?
Oh, is it?
Oh, with the video.
I didn't recognize it, but
you kids, that's John Mayer, God, Visvim King.
Joe Coscarelli would have known that.
The acronym assassin, John Mayer, with New Light. That is number 12 on the Hot Rock Songs chart. I don't know if that's a rock song.
Before his voice came in, I was going to guess the Muzak version of a Fleetwood Mac song that's playing in a grocery store. But then
John Mayer.
This is a song with a guitar solo, which I can't say for any of these other songs that lead up to it. Like when I was going down these songs, this one actually has a guitar solo on it.
John Mayer, one of the great guitar players.
That's what they say.
The generation.
Oh, it's shady.
That's been the log line for years.
Shady.
Do you find him to be an unsatisfying guitar player?
I think he's a competent guitar player.
You think he's really just competent?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
good.
Interesting.
He's good.
I think he's good.
He knows his pentatonic scales.
Wow.
I would say he knows his pentatonic scales and he throws a lot of good face.
Mm.
And that's like
important.
80% of him.
I am embarrassed to say I have enjoyed a John Mayer guitar solo in a live concert setting. I have enjoyed one. One.
No shame.
Maybe two.
Safe place.
Safe. Thousands of people are listening to this. Okay. So that was John Mayer. That's on the Hot Rock Songs chart. It is not hot. It is not rock. And I guess it's a song. So 1 out of 3 is not
but
bad.
But Slater Kinney did put out an album called The Hot Rock. Maybe we should listen to something as a palate cleanser.
So we're saying fill the Billboard charts, the rock
Slater
charts.
All Slater Kinney.
All Slater Kinney. Yeah. All the time.
Okay. Here on the roulette wheel of Hot Rock, I've got another song for you. Thank you.
mean, I'm hearing like the crackle of fake vinyl.
Yes.
So that's rock.
There's like a preset.
Yeah.
Crunch.
I've been drank all night, acted all alright, had no need to fight tonight. Drank all night.
Is it Post Malone?
Wait for it. Wait for the drop.
Had no need to fight tonight.
There's a guitar.
It's Gary Clark Jr.
It's Gary Clark Sr. Okay. So that is a song. That is the artist is named 2 Feet, who I'm not up on at all.
No.
And that song, Pedro, Get the Button Ready, it's called Go F*** Yourself. And it does. It is rude. Half EDM, half country rock. It's like it's G-Love and Special Sauce.
Oof.
Featured on the Chainsmokers record. Is that a rock? I don't know. What are these songs? Do these songs that we've just been playing have anything in common? Literally anything besides the fact
that white
men made them.
Yeah. This is making 21 Pilots in 1975 feel like real rock bands.
and like geniuses also.
Yeah. Well, it's all relative.
I think that's
our lesson today.
It's a side effect again of all like the overproduced Linkin Park bands and stuff like that that tried to follow that sound.
I want to switch over to hot mainstream rock.
Ooh.
These are dark. This is dark stuff.
I've got that.
So that was the underground.
That
version.
Was no, just hot rock.
Okay.
It was just hot rock.
But mainstream.
This is hot.
This is the mainstream.
Corey, do you know the distinction between hot rock songs and hot mainstream rock songs? And if a Billboard person mainstream is listening, please email us, I guess.
The distinction to my ears is that mainstream rock is angrier and often worse.
That's accurate. Okay, well, here's something that was low on the hot rock chart, but is rising on the hot mainstream rock chart. All right, here we go.
Mother, I don't wanna take my medicine. 24 years in the gutter again. I'm losing it.
Is this Gloria Sons?
Damn, it's good.
Corey,
it's where you're just making these
stop
up.
Stop making us look bad. I mean, this is seriously like that Jimmy Kimmel sketch where they ask people going to Coachella if they've like if they're really into smelly socks, and they're like, yeah. I was really into their early stuff.
So, once more, Corey was on it.
This is the Glorious Sons. SOS sawed off shotgun.
Damn right it is. What do y'all think of the Glorious Sons?
I think Corey just got a raise.
Corey, I'm looking forward to your weekly column on anonymous mainstream rock.
Yeah. I've tried it. Nobody reads it.
I will not subject all of us to more songs, but I do just want to like name some bands that are currently on the hot mainstream rock chart. And I just want to know. Actually, wait, there's one more song I want
to
play.
Okay, I actually have to go to a meeting in 2 minutes.
Then it's very urgent that we play this song first. And this is Holding Steady at number 38 on hot mainstream rock tracks.
I check my dome, I straighten my tie. Who is that looking back at me, looking so fly? I'm like, damn, oh, that's me in the
is this your boy Kane Brown?
This is like country rap.
Is it? Did I get it right?
This is Jackson Maine.
Written by Allie.
Yeah.
Okay, I have to go to the meeting. Just tell us what it is. Come on. I need to take that phone.
Okay, so Karen's going to take her phone because she has to go to a meeting. That is a song called Like a Baller by a band called Wilson, which I've never heard of, but feels very much in the country rap, Average Joe's records, ecosystem. There's a lot of stuff in that world that I like. I'm not familiar with Wilson. Maybe I'm about to be familiar or be made familiar with Wilson. But point being, that is on the hot mainstream rock track song. And I ask one more time, what do these charts mean? These charts are the most vexing
thing
to me.
I have a hard time understanding where this music is coming from, because I'm going to say something.
Yeah, New York media elite, you
well,
would.
Well, I will. No, this is friend of Gann's band, Metric, just put out a very good rock record, and I don't see it represented at any of these charts, and it's a very, very good.
Disclosure.
Well, full disclosure.
Disclosure much.
But I can separate my friendship from my critical taste, and if I didn't like it, I just wouldn't have brought it up. But it's a really good rock album. Where is it? Do you see it on any of these charts?
Well, no, there's a woman in that band.
Yes, I mean, that's obviously a huge drawback. I'm
and
sorry,
a
Emily.
Voice. Yeah. Like, I do think that is weirdly the format painted itself into this corner of like rock equals guy with a gruff voice being sad about the modern world.
Here is one on the rock albums chart, which is, I guess, is the umbrella for mainstream and just regular hot, just lukewarm and hot. The only female singer that I can identify immediately is Cat Power, number 18 with Wanderer. But let's see. Yeah, like, no.
One thing I want
to tell.
Yeah.
What?
Also on the Cat Power album, so she's dominating that chart.
The real female rock star of 2018.
Not wrong.
This is the one thing I want to point out, like we're talking about these charts. Number one on both the Hot Rock Songs chart and the alternative chart right now is Imagine Dragons.
Right.
The alternative to the mainstream is the same thing.
It's the mainstream.
Wow. So where is, that it's all homogenous. It doesn't really matter.
Guys, I just want to say, you really got to spend some time on the Billboard Rock Song various. Lindsay, you sent me a gem yesterday. Uh-huh. You want to share with the gem? This was on the rock streaming songs.
Yeah.
Should we actually go out with that song?
Yeah, I think we should.
A real rock anthem.
Uh-huh. So these are the most streamed songs, rock songs. Number 18, I think.
I think it was, yeah.
We got a little band called Smash Mouth.
That's right! Oh,
a little song called All Star. I'm not kidding, guys. That is on the chart currently in 2018.
Our producer doesn't know what to do.
Let's go. This is All Star by a real rock band, Smash Mouth.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the years start coming and
that's our show. Thank you to my guests, Karen Gans, Corey Groh, and Lindsay Zolads. Real rock and roll. I'm tired of advocating for real hip hop. I'm now going to advocate for real rock and roll, like Greta Van Fleet.
I'm looking forward to this pivot in our coverage.
It's a strong pivot. I cannot wait to exclusively cover white band. Listen to every podcast ever, which are mostly not about rock music, thank God, at nytimes.com/podcast. Subscribe to the podcast. Anywhere you get your audio content, including the Rock and Roll Homogenizer, iHeartMedia, at the iHeartRadio app, and Spotify, and Stitcher, and Google Play, etc. And I don't know, do you people listen to rock music? Like, do the people who listen to this podcast listen to rock music? What do you think?
Yeah, I think they do.
You did? Okay, if you have an interesting rock band that you think we should know about, email us at podcast@nytimes.com. And not like a cool, like, we know about bands. Like a sort of like less obvious interesting band, and we will listen to it and maybe revisit it on a later episode. Our producer, who is really, really doing really taking an L this week, is Pedro Rosado from Head Stepper Media, and we'll be back next week.
I don't know anymore.